I remember the first service that Sharon and I was in where people said amen demonstratively and showed demonstration and worship. It kind of shook us up a little bit, you know, first time you ever around it. But it's grown on me, amen, over the years. I love to see people celebrate, worship the Lord. Some people clap, you know, a lot of churches they are clapping, and that's fine. If that's what people want to do, we don't do a whole lot of clapping around here. We do a lot of shouting, you know. Amen. That's right. And so, you know, clapping don't shake me up now. I want you to know that. Clapping don't shake me up. But shouting doesn't either. Just whatever way you want to express. And some people cry. I've seen people cry. You say, well, I don't want to have any emotion. Well, now, you're going to have some kind of emotion. Everybody has emotion. And there's certainly nothing wrong with expressing it. Now, I don't think you ought to be led by it. Be careful about being led by emotion. Emotion will carry you places you don't need to be. The Bible says we're to be led by the Spirit. Amen. Amen. And so I'm thankful that we have that liberty here at Fellowship Baptist Church, because where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. And we exercise that liberty. And so if you want to clap your hands, clap your hands. Now, don't do it when I'm talking about people going to hell now. You know, you have to not only have liberty, but you have to have some discernment. And I've seen some people that had no discernment whatsoever, whether it be shouting, clapping their hands, or crying, or whatever. So use a little discernment, but worship nonetheless. It's okay to express your worship. Some people worship in the quiet calmness of their heart. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. You just worship the way God dictates to your heart, and don't judge others who may do it differently. Amen. It's a good way to practice. Well, I'm going to talk with you about a very, very important subject. Very important subject. And so I want you to follow along. I'm going to ask you to turn to some places in your Bible in order to get a truth to you that God's laid upon my heart from the Scripture this morning. We've been talking about for the last 2-3 Sunday mornings, we've been talking about the enemy. And I've been fighting fights. I hope you prayed for me this past week. I sure did need it, and I'm going to need it going forward. This will be one pastor that'll call for your prayer. I need you to pray for me. You say, well, preacher, pray for us. Well, I do. And I'm going to ask you to pray for me. I need your prayer. Okay? I need your prayer. And especially when I stand to preach, I need you to ask God to help me to keep my mind clear. I want to keep my mind clear. I want to keep my heart clean. And I want to preach what the Lord tells me to preach. It's very important that you receive what God has for you. And so it's very important that I give to you what God's given to me, and that it come from this book. And when I say this book, I'm not referring to some reference book. I'm referring to the Word of God. Very important. Very important. So you have your Bible open to Mark chapter number 1, and there's a few thoughts that I want you to see from this passage of Scripture that Pastor BJ read in your hearing this morning. Now, a lot of it's going to be instruction. You know, sometimes when the Scripture is preached, the Bible says it's correction. Sometimes the Bible is profitable, you see, for rebuke and for reproof and for instruction in righteousness, that we could be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. See, God wants us to be equipped, and we're in a battle, and I hope you understand that. I'm going to say something right off the bat here that I want you to really get with me, okay? We have a lot of Christians today that are demonstrating. I'm not opposed to demonstration. I believe in freedom and liberty. I believe in freedom of speech and freedom of religion. I believe in the right to bear arms. I believe in the Constitution of the United States. I believe that our Constitution was framed by our forefathers, much of being guided by the Holy Scriptures that you hold in your hands this morning. But if we do not realize that these marches and protests and these things that we stand against as far as institutions and as far as governments and as far as groups hold absolutely no authority, except we realize it is a spiritual warfare. It's spiritual. It's not, It's not a physical. We wrestle not. Don't know how you could get any plainer than this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. And some of them are at work right now. You see, I want you to take note that in verse number 23, it says there was a man in their synagogue. So, well, I'm glad I'm at church. I'm free from the devil going to work. Well, he's working right now. He's trying to get your mind off of what I'm saying. You'll be thinking about what you're going to do when you get home today, or what you've got to do next week, or you'll be passing a note or sharing a joke. Anything but listening to what the Bible says. The devil doesn't care so much that you come to church today. He just doesn't want you to get the message that God has for you. There's a lot of buildings that fill up with church people. I don't want that to happen here at Fellowship Baptist Church. I want God's house to be filled with people who want to hear what God's Word says. There's a lot of churches today that'll feast on, listen to me now, fleshly appetites. The devil has no problem with that. The devil has no problem that if churches go through the little program and through their little ceremonies, as long as what thus saith the Lord is not preached. And as long as people don't sit with their Bible open and their heart open saying, God, give me something. I'm in a warfare. I'm in a fight. There's an enemy out there. And he's out to destroy me and destroy my family. And I need something that's going to equip me. I need some resources from heaven. I need something outside of myself that's going to help me to win this fight. And that's what we're going to look at today. Now, brethren, the devil's real. I want you to look at me here in verse number 23 where the scripture says, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. You see that? A glad day in your life, a glad day in my life when we realize that not everything that is spiritual is clean. Now, I want you to listen to me. We've got so many things mixed up in our churches today. In the name of Jesus, in the name of God, in the name of heaven, there's just some things mixed up. It's gotten to where today when you mention something spiritual, people think it's good. It's like when you mention the word angel, people think that's good. Well, it might be, but it might be a fallen angel. You see, there's spiritual righteousness, but there's spiritual wickedness too. Amen. And so we hear words and our minds take us places that sometimes God doesn't want that. So you say, well, he's spiritual. Yeah, he might be a witch. Might be a warlock. I don't believe in witches and warlocks. Well, then you don't believe the Bible. Well, an angel visited my home last night. Yeah, it may have been one of the devil's angels. You see, they are ministers of unrighteousness. And Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. We need to know what this book teaches. We need a revival back to the Bible. And see what God says and not what a preacher says or a denomination or some group that we're excited about. I believe in loyalty. I believe in loyalty to people. I believe in loyalty to churches and organizations. But listen to me. First of all, our loyalty is to Christ. Our loyalty is to the Bible. And if organizations and institutions and preachers and teachers and evangelists don't line up with the Bible, then brother, we've got a decision to make. The scripture says here, in verse number 23, there was in their synagogue. I find it a very interesting place to start talking about the enemy. The enemy was in church. The enemy went to the house of God, the synagogue, this day. This man housed him and carried him there. There was a man with an unclean spirit. Devils are real. I've had people look at me and kind of sneer and kind of, you know, smirk and almost in mockery say, oh yeah, devils are real. And they make light of it and they joke. I'm here to tell you today, brethren, the devil's no joke. It's not a joke. It's reality. And the devil is operative in many people's lives today who have absolutely no clue that the devil's at work in their lives. As I study the Bible, I find that there's three ways that the Scripture teaches now that the devil gets involved in human beings' lives. And I want to share them with you just by way of introduction. If this is all we get today, I want you to leave with the knowledge of how the devil may be involved in your life. Oh, preacher, I'll have you to know I'm a Christian. Well, the devil can get involved in a Christian's life. I just want to be reminded, and I want you to be reminded today, the devil went to Jesus in the wilderness and tempted him. So don't you think, well, all I've got to do to stay out of the devil's sights is just do right. Well, Jesus is an embodiment of all that is right, and the devil came to him. I think he's going to come to you and me too, don't you? So please don't think, well, I've lived a good life this week, and so therefore the devil has no place in my life. Well, now, he may not, but he may be involved in more areas than what you and I realize. See, there's a reason you might be having those thoughts. There's a reason you might be having those inclinations and desires and urges. There's a reason you might be doing some of that stuff in the darkness where you think no one knows about. There's a reason you have a desire, just a drive to do something you shouldn't do or to see something you shouldn't see. There's a reason for that. There's a reason when the man of God is standing up preaching, that preacher, he's so loud. Well, when you get to heaven, I just want you to know something. It's going to be loud in heaven. The Bible says there were occasions where Jesus stood up and with a loud voice, he made his proclamation known. I know that we are living in a day where men are heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears. I understand that. What this country needs is some good old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone, spirit-filled Bible preaching. Amen. Amen. See, we thought we could do without it, and look where it's got us. We got men running around claiming to be women. Right. Women running around wanting to identify as men. Right. We got men wanting to go to the bathroom with little girls. Hey, I tell you something, our country's in a mess. Yeah. It's because these leather-lunged preachers quit preaching, and we got these soft-peddling, listen, these spineless, back-wallering, back-slidden men that'll stand up and tell jokes and stories and never tell you what thus saith the Lord. And the people love it that way. As a matter of fact, we'll get down to this, but if you look down in verse numbers 24, those unclean spirits said, let us alone. Isn't that the cry of today? Let us alone. Don't tell us what the Bible says. Don't tell us right from wrong. We'll determine what's right and wrong. Don't tell us what's holy and what's not. Don't tell us what's righteous and what's not. Don't tell us what thus saith the Lord. Don't tell us adultery's wrong. Don't tell us that living together outside of marriage is sin. Don't tell us that doing drugs and looking at pornography is sin. Hey, leave us alone. Right? Maybe some watching today. May even be some here. I don't know. Listen, I'm not preaching down to you. I'm telling you there's devils involved. If you're here today and if your mindset on Christianity and Bible preaching and Christianity and the church and the Bible is, you know what? I wish that preacher would just leave me alone. I wish mom would just leave me alone. I wish that friend would just leave me alone. I wish that neighbor coming to me about Jesus would just leave me alone. I wish that preacher would just quit preaching the Bible. Why don't he just be like other preachers and just tell us what we want to hear? Hey, you listen to me. It's because there's devils involved in your life. That's what's causing you to think that. Amen. Man's creating the image of God. And man's, listen, when God gets involved in a man's life, man will hunger and thirst after God. But when a devil gets involved, he'll begin to have this attitude. I'm sick of that stuff. I hate that gospel. I hate that Bible. Let's kill them Christians. Hey, they're called, listen, there's Christians before us who were martyred for one reason. This right here. Martyred. Because of this right here. There's a group of people in our country today that are being pointed out, singled out too. This book right here. This book right here. You listen to me well. The devil's, listen, he hasn't closed up his shop now. Say, preacher, I don't want to hear this. Well, the devil doesn't either, but I'm going to preach it. That's right. We need some preaching. I'm not, like I said, I'm not condemning. I'm not preaching down. I'm just telling the truth on the devil. Look at this, if you would. I want you to turn in your Bible to Acts chapter number 10. Would you do that? And I want to talk to you about a word here and how the devil gets involved in the lives of a human being. Acts chapter 10, there's a very interesting word that I want you to search with me. If we get these three this morning, we'll be doing good. But I want you to understand something. The devil's real. He's a fallen angel. He's Lucifer, son of the morning. Read Isaiah 14. Read Ezekiel 28. It's in the book, brethren. The devil, real. And there's a host of angels that have fallen with him. Read Revelation 12, Jude 6, 2 Peter chapter 2. Read the book. See what God says about this. There's hosts, myriads of fallen angels who are principalities and powers and rulers, plural, rulers of the darkness of this world. And they are involved in the lives of human beings. Before I give you this scripture out of Acts chapter 10, I want everyone to look right up here at me. I want to share a truth with you that why you'll understand, well, why is the devil coming after me, preacher? Why is the devil coming after me? I want to tell you why. The devil can't handle God. Oh, he thought he could. We read a little bit about it in Isaiah 14, don't we? Oh, he thought he could. He thought he could raise up, and he said, I will be higher, right? I will be like the Most High. I, in pride, he said, all he was going to do. I'm going to take on God. The devil's no match for God. No more than the creation is a match for the Creator. And that's what we have there. See, I believe in some people's minds, if you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, boy, I tell you, when it comes to God, he's 100, but the devil's 99. Not even close. Not even close. We're dealing with the Creator, God, and the creation, the devil. So please don't think that the devil's the opposite from God. That's not true. Good, evil, black, white, right? God, the devil. No. No. That's not so. That's not so. God's not the good creator and the devil's the bad creator. That's not so. Get that out of your mind. The devil is a creation of the Creator. Big difference. Now, I'm laying that foundation because I want you to see something from the Scripture. So the devil can't get God. Oh, he wanted to. He's still trying, but he knows. He knows he's been defeated. There's a lot of criminals today that have taken a page out of the devil's book. If I can't get you, I'm going to get those that you love. You know, a lot of crooks and gangsters, they won't get the man. They'll go after his family. That's the way the devil works, isn't it? He can't get God. But I tell you what he can do. See, God so loved us. Listen to me now. God so loved the world, and God loves us, and the devil can't get to God, so what's he going to do? He's going to get to God's children. That's one of the reasons he's coming after you. I want you to know that. He wants to destroy your life. You can read about some of it in the book of Job. This is not some thought-up theory I'm coming up with this morning. It's the Bible. The devil... The Bible pulls back the curtain and lets us see a little bit into why and how the devil operates. We're not ignorant to his devices. God has shed the light on some things. So the devil's coming after your life. He's coming after my life. He's coming after our families. He's coming after the Bible-believing churches. He wants to rip us apart and tear us up. The thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. John 10:10. It's real. In Acts chapter number 10, I want you to look at verse number 38. There's a word here that's very interesting. This is one of the ways that the devil is operative in our lives. I said ours now. I'm talking to Christians and lost people. If you're here today and you've never been saved, I'm talking to you. But I'm talking to those of you that are here that have been saved too. If you're watching today, whether you're saved or lost, this scripture is for you. Notice what the scripture says in Acts 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were, and here's our word, I want you to underline it, oppressed of the devil. Demonic oppression. What does the word oppressed mean? When the Bible says here in the Word of God, when it says that they were those that were oppressed of the devil, what does that mean? Because this tells us one of the ways that the devil gets involved and comes against mankind. Webster's 1828 says this about oppression: to rule over, to put down, to take authority, to take it, dominion, to overpower, to burden, to depress. That's oppression. Now, a lot of times we hear about man oppressing man, whether it be in slavery or in captivity or in some type of burdensome situation. We hear about man oppressing man, and it's very real. Don't try to make yourself believe that it hasn't been and that it's not so. It's very real. But this is not talking about man to man. Again, notice what the scripture said in verse 38. It says that Jesus went about with power and the Holy Ghost, doing good and healing all that were oppressed, the scripture says, of the devil. So what does this say to me? What is it saying to you? It's saying that the devil wants to take the authority that's been given to you by God. See, we believers have authority. We've been commissioned. Jesus said in Matthew 28, he said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he commissioned us, and he said, ye shall receive power in Acts 1:8. And he said, I am giving you the authority that I have. I'm giving you as one of my children, as one of my representatives, as an ambassador, I'm giving you the authority to go out and be witnesses unto me. And Satan said, I'm going to take that authority. I'm going to squelch that authority. I'm going to so impose on your life that the victory you have in your newfound faith in Jesus Christ and your position as a believer, I'm going to so weaken that by oppressing you that you're going to be in bondage again. So many believers in bondage again. That's almost an oxymoron. We who have been delivered by the blood of Jesus should never be in bondage. We've been set free. And yet there's an enemy who comes against us, who is oppressing us. Makes us feel sad when we should be glad. Makes us feel weak when we should realize in Christ we're strong. Makes us feel helpless when we should realize that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So believer and unbeliever alike, hear me this morning. There's an enemy out there. There's a devil, and he has devils. He has unclean spirits. And yes, they'll come to church with you. They'll reside at home with you. They'll be at work with you. They'll be at recreation with you. They'll be all around you as the imps of hell trying to oppress you and bring you down from the lofty position that Christ has seated you in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. It's real. Say, preacher, I don't know why I feel down all the time. I may have an idea as to why. Preacher, I don't know why I feel so burdened. I feel so so beat down. I feel so overpowered. I feel that though I do things and I say things, and it's just not me, preacher. It's just not me. You might be right. You may be under an influence, you see. An influence. It's very real. Did you know the Bible teaches that Satan can fill your mind, your heart? I'm reminded of Acts chapter 5. Since we're in Acts, let's just turn back just a few chapters to chapter 5. There was a man by the name of Ananias and his wife Sapphira. You know the story. How that they were doing things just to be seen of man. They wanted the recognition and the applause of man. And Peter eyed them up. And he said in Acts chapter number 5, he said this when he brought them before him. In verse number 3, he said unto Ananias, "Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" See, that's oppression. Why has Satan filled your mind with things that he wanted? See, as Christians, we're to be filled with the Spirit. We're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We're to think on those things which are good and just and pure and holy and of good report. If I have virtue and praise, we ought to think on these things. But there's an oppressor out there that's trying to fill our hearts and our minds to lie and to cheat and to steal and to do those things that would bring reproach upon the name of Christ. It is real. It's real. Say, when I preach, I'm above that. I'm living right. I've already told you. The embodiment of all that is right. Jesus himself faced this enemy. If he'll attack Jesus, don't you think he won't attack you? And so please be aware of demonic oppression. Now that's mainly from the outside. Listen, I've read accounts of men and women who are in the service of God who came under demonic oppression. Their bodies would feel weak and their minds would feel just fogged and unclear because the devil is real and the devils of hell are real. And don't you think that the devil can't do that to you or I. I'll give you one more scripture on this thought before we move to the next one. Turn to Matthew. Matthew, I think it's chapter 13. Now, if I can't find it, I didn't write it down, it just came to me. Matthew 13. I'll get there eventually. Did you know the Bible says that when God, I'm in Matthew 13 now, Jesus is teaching, and he said that there's times that you can be here in preaching, and the Spirit of God can sow seeds in your heart, and the devil will come and snatch them away. Isn't that something? I'm speaking to you about oppression. I'm speaking to you about how the devil can come and get involved. Look, I think it's verse 19. Matthew 13, verse 19 says this, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart." And that's something. So not only can the devil put something in your heart, as he did Ananias and Sapphira, to fill their hearts, he can take something from your heart. So don't you underestimate the enemy now. Don't you underestimate the enemy now. And don't you think, well, you know what? I'm doing right and spitting white. I'm fine, preacher. I'm good. I'm in church. I go to Sunday school. Well, that's not going to stop the enemy from trying to destroy your life. That may cause him to send a couple of more devils to attack you. So please, don't think, well, you know, I'm safe. Well, there's a place in Jesus that we are, but that doesn't mean we'll be without temptation and attack. So did you write that word down? Oppression. Let's turn to another as I go over another word with you, okay? Let's turn to another. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 5, and then hold your place there and go to Luke chapter number 6. So we talked about oppression. Devils are involved in our lives through oppression. And then there's this, and I want you to listen carefully because these words sound a little alike, obsession. Now, there's a difference. There's a difference between oppression and obsession. To be obsessed with something and to be oppressed with something, two totally different things. We're going to talk about them. And this is how the devil is working in some people's lives. Maybe yours. You say, well, preacher, the devil's not working in my life. Sure he is. Sure he is. You know, we always talk about God working in someone's life, and I'm glad God works in our lives, aren't you? Amen. Thank God God works in our lives. But now there's an enemy at work, too. Right. And he's trying to thwart everything that God is doing in our lives. Right. Everything. I said turn to Acts chapter number 5. Are you there? And then hold your place and go to Luke chapter number 6. Acts 5, Luke 6. And we'll start with Luke 6 and then go back to Acts 5, okay? In Luke chapter number 6, look at verse number 18. This is a very interesting word that brings us to our second way that Satan gets involved in our lives. There's some folks here this morning. Your countenance says that Satan is at work in this way in your life. Your countenance says it. Look, if you would, in Acts chapter number 5 and then Luke 6. We're going to start Luke 6. Look at verse number 18. Luke 6, verse 18. And they that were, and here's our word, vexed. We don't hear that word much today, but it's a very unusual word that has an equivalent in our verbiage today, and I'll share it with you in just a moment. But I want to read the rest of this scripture. It says in Luke 6, verse 18, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits. So we know that this is a way that the devils, the demons of hell, come against mankind. Through vexation, vexing. What's our word mean, preacher? Well, it's the equivalent of obsess. What does obsession mean? I think we all know what obsession means. Matter of fact, can I tell you, we're living in the days of obsession. You know what obsession means? I'm going to give you the Webster's 828 on it, all right? To tease. To afflict. To agitate. To torment. Through obsession. Obsession. A word that we use today that's akin to that, it's very widely used, is addiction. Everyone's addicted. Addicted. Obsession. To tease. To torment. To tease. You got it? Just this one time. Now, come on. Everybody's doing it. To tease. Obsession. Every obsession begins with the first time. You listening? Oh, and a preacher, I have you to know, I don't do drugs. Well, are you obsessed with money? Well, I have you to know, I'm not obsessed with money or drugs. What about revenge? Can I tell you that some people get up and go to bed with nothing but revenge on their mind? Hatred. Have you ever seen a day like the day that we live in where so many people are filled with hate? They wake up, they go through their day, and they go to sleep obsessed with hate. I'm going to get them back if that's the last thing I do. I'm going to make them pay for what they've done to me. Somebody's going to pay. That's the devil. That's the devil. obsession. Some people are obsessed with filth. They get on their computer, they get up during the day, and they think about filth. They get on the computer, and they look at filth, and then they begin to try to exercise that filth that they go out through the day. Hey, listen to me. Obsession is real. And there's devils that are attached to obsession. He will wrap chains and bonds and fetters around each one of us if we allow him to, and cause us to obsess about things in our lives. You know, there's some people that could serve God and make a difference in their community, in their church, in our country, and around the world, if the devils of obsession didn't have them handcuffed. I wrote down just a few things. Sex. There's people obsessed with it. They get up thinking about it. They go through their day thinking about it. They go to bed thinking about it. But it's not, listen, it's not marital unity. It's sex, perverseness, drugs. They shake. And they watch out now, son. Don't let the devil get you while the preacher's preaching. All right? He's at work. See, we've got to understand something here. It's like uncovering a rock, and those little, listen, bugs start going down in the ground. Why? Because light has exposed them. And they start fleeing from the light. That's what's happening this morning. The devil's being told on. It's not about me. It's about what God said in this book. God's telling on the enemy today. And he doesn't want you to hear this. Why? Because if you get a hold of this and you begin to recognize how the enemy is going to work in your life, and you begin to plead the blood of Jesus and get victory over these things, then you'll be unhandcuffed and you'll be set free again, and you can serve God in your life again. The devil doesn't want that. So be careful. Stay focused. We'll be through here in just a moment. Obsession, it's real. It's real. There are people that quake and shake. Why? They've been teased. They're still chasing that high. They're still chasing that first high. Just do it one more time. If I could just get that high, they chase it and they chase it and they chase it and they chase it. Listen, there's no pleasure in it anymore. And now they're just chasing and chasing and chasing and chasing. Why? Obsession. Obsession. The devil. It's real. Say, well, preacher, I don't have a problem with sex, drugs, and alcohol. Well, I wonder if you might have a problem with sports. There's people that are literally obsessed with sports. There was a time in my life I was. I'm not going to break rank here, and I'm not going to get off subject, but I want to tell you something that's probably going to cause some of you to quit listening to me. But I want you to stay tuned. There was a day when I was a huge Dallas Cowboys fan. See, I told you. Some of you right then just said, okay, that's it. I'm not going to hear that's anything else he says. Well, now I want you to hear me. If I preach to you knowing that you're a Washington Redskins fan, you ought to listen to me knowing I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. There's help for any of us. And my wife can bear you witness. Say, preacher, did you see when Joe Montana hit Dwight Clark in the back of the end zone for the touchdown that sealed Dallas's doom in that championship game back in 1981? Yeah, I saw it. This way. With a remote in my hand, running 10 minutes behind schedule because church was starting. I got saved in October of 1980, so this was about a year or so. Been saved. Not that that makes it any different. Should have done better. Should have known better. And I'm backing out the door. Sharon said, honey, we got to go. We're running late. All right, honey. All right. Hey, they didn't have DV, whatever they call it now, DVR, DV something, you know, where you can tape. They didn't have it back then. You miss it, buddy. You miss it. I think SportsCenter was just getting started. And so I'm backing out the door. What's that, preacher? That's obsession. That's obsession.
I've got to see what's going to happen. I've got to find out what's going to happen to my dearly beloved Cowboys. Can I tell you, when all of life is over, the Dallas Cowboys right. will mean nothing.
Right. Amen. Amen.
When all of life is over, football will mean nothing. Right. So, oh, preacher, you ought not hate football. Well, I don't hate it. I just hate what it's done to our country.
Right. Amen. Right.
I hate what it's done to a lot of professing Christians. There's folks become obsessed with this stuff. It's an obsession. Never would smoke a joint. Never would snort a line. Never would take a drink of whiskey. But stay home and watch the football game on Sunday instead of go to the house of God. You listening? I'm talking to you about obsession. It's real. Has the devil got you obsessing with something? Has he? Obsession. Before we move to our final one, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 5. And this thing of obsession, it seems like that a lot of folks today, and listen, God said this was going to happen. He said that men would be lovers. I started to preach this morning, but God just definitely told me, and I want you to preach this message. I have a message prepared that I'm going to preach in this series out of 2 Timothy chapter 3 about this: know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of themselves. Obsession. Can I tell you, we've got a generation of people that are more obsessed with pleasure than any generation of people in the history of the world? Folks don't want to work anymore. Don't want to work anymore. Don't want to accept common responsibility of taking care of your family and your home. Want to be out just enjoying themselves. Obsessed with self. Say, now, preacher, I'm going to find that hard to believe. You have Facebook? Go to it for about 20 minutes.
Right.
And then come back and say, preacher, you're right.
Yeah.
People are super obsessed with themselves. It's got to be all about us. So, Acts 5, are you there? Verse 16. Acts 5, verse 16 says, and there came also a multitude out of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. They were obsessed with unclean spirits. Obsessed. The unclean spirits in their life cause them to just latch onto something and can't let it go. So, well, preacher, I'll break it. I'll break the obsession. Not without God's help, you won't. It's not going to happen. So we've looked at two words today. Biblically, how the devil gets involved in your life and my life. You say, well, I'm saved, and I'm glad. My question today is, are you serving God? Have you been oppressed? Has the devil got you sidetracked? See, oppression is more from external, coming against you. Obsession is more of an inside desire, urge, that we just have to follow up and we just have to have. Right? You understand how the devil can use these things in your life? They're very real, brethren. Can I tell you, you never grow out of it? You never grow out of it. The devil. Doesn't matter. You say, well, when I was a younger man, I was obsessed with this, but now I'm obsessed with that. Doesn't matter. The devil just wants to keep you obsessed. He'll change your obsession throughout life from time to time. He just wants to keep you from doing God's will and fulfilling God's purpose in our lives. Doesn't he, brethren? Doesn't he? It's real. I pray to God you would take this equipment that the Word of God gives us this information and realize, you know, this may be going on in my life because there's devils involved that are oppressing me, or there's devils involved that are obsessing me, and I need to break the chains. I need some freedom. I need some liberty. I need some victory. I need to be set free. The final one, and I won't spend much time here, is possession. I want you to write that word down. So there's oppression. The devil works in lives through oppression. And then there's obsession. The devil works through lives through obsession. And then there's possession. We'll go back to our text and I'll close the sermon here. The Lord willing, we'll pick up here tonight. The Lord willing. I've got a message prepared in the home, been trying to preach it now for a couple of weeks, but we'll see. But I want you to get some help here. Because I believe if we could get some help here, it'll help our homes. I just believe it. There are people that are living in bondage. There are people that are living in defeat. God has not saved us to live a defeated life. He said here in Mark chapter 1, verse number 23 through 28 is our text. And this is what he said about possession. He said that he told this unclean spirit, are you there? He told this unclean spirit, he said, notice what he said to him. He said, come out of him. He was inside of him. And as a matter of fact, you'll notice the personal pronoun that he used. In verse number 24, at the latter part, he said, art thou come to destroy us? The man was filled with the spirit, probably spirits, unclean spirits. He said, have you come to destroy us? And Jesus looked at him in the latter part of verse number 24, in verse number 23 or 25, he said, Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. Possession. I take the biblical position as I study the scripture that a Christian man or woman cannot be possessed with the devil. I don't think that the devil can reside in the life of a believer. I believe that's the throne of the Holy Spirit of God, the divine nature, the Spirit of God which is in every believer. Every believer possesses, we are possessed of a spirit, but it's not an unclean spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't be obsessed and oppressed. But this is a warning to those of you that hear my voice this morning that have never been saved. You be careful. The devil will not only move in on your life, he will move into your life and begin to operate through you. Throughout the scriptures, again, look over in verse number 32 of Mark chapter number 1. It says, verse number 32, and at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. The scripture over and over and over again gives us illustrations of those that were possessed. The greatest account, no doubt, being just a few chapters over in Mark chapter 5, the man of Gadara who was possessed with a legion of devils. It's real. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? There's an enemy out there. And he's coming at us. And he's going to keep coming too. He's just going to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. You say, well, preacher, you said last week if I would resist the devil, he'd flee from me. Yes, but I also said he'd come back. Amen. He'll come back. So what are we going to do? Well, I hope you'll come back this evening. But as you stand to your feet, the pants are going to come. I want to give you something that you can take home with you with some hope. With some hope this morning. Preacher, we have an enemy, and he's powerful. And he's coming after us. He has us in his crosshairs. He has us in his sights. Well, what are we going to do? Well, I'm glad that John said, greater is he that's within you than he that is in the world. There was a time when the disciples, Jesus sent them out. You can read this today between services. I hope you will. Luke chapter 10, he sent out the 70, two by two. And when they came back, they were rejoicing. They said, hey, even the devils are subject unto us. But they didn't stop there. See, if you think the devils are subject to you, you've mistaken what the Bible teaches. They're subject to us in Jesus' name. We've got some folks that need some cleansing. We've got some folks that need some prayer in Jesus' name. We've got some folks that need to claim the blood of Jesus for the cleansing of their lives, their homes, their families. It's real. Brethren, at the name of Jesus, I've seen miracles take place. I've seen drug addicts become clean. Prostitutes become pure. You listening? Thieves become honest people at the name of Jesus. Jesus can do it. So don't you leave here today and say, well, we're a whipped, defeated people. The devil's a whipped, defeated foe. Amen. And he's operating on borrowed time. And he is trying to convince you that he is a victor when he is defeated. Jesus has defeated the devil. And we can defeat him too in Jesus' name. But we need Jesus' help. Let's bow our heads together. I realize this morning was a little lengthy. But I wanted to get the thought across because we're in trouble, brethren. We have folks that are, listen, I mean, they are trying to fight the enemy